It occurs to me that the community is incapable of protecting themselves against the police because the police have a monopoly of force. And that's the thing. That's what happens. I mean, if an adult is having an argument with a child and the adult says, you know what, I'm just going to hit you and you can't hit me back because you're too short, you're too little, who right. wins the argument?
You know, it's sad, many of those things do happen, and, you know, it is out there and it is predominant, but it's because of the stress-related issues within the family, lack of money and so on. And, you know, and what I don't agree with is when police go in there and then physically assault you, step up into your face, tell you to calm down when you're perfectly calm, and then drive your head into the concrete. And then one of our girls that have had that, she took them to court, but all the police stick together as a tight little group, a tight little gang, and they say, no, it never happened, it never happened. And it did. This girl smashed her cheekbone. You know, so, you know, hey, look, these things happen in the community. It just takes people like me and like you, Vinny, to do something about it.
I asked the Kiwi Journalists Association on Facebook. They've actually got quite a lot of credible journalists on there. I was very honoured to be invited. What is the reason, or what do you believe should be the main reason for reporting on something? I picked moral obligation.
It is moral obligation, I'm afraid, Vinny. You know, I'm the type of person that I could not stand by and watch somebody getting hurt. I know, I remember this. One week, it was probably November last year, there was a young girl screaming her head off out here, out the front of my office here. And I went out to have a look. Nobody else went out. They were all coming out on the verandas, but nobody actually went out of their building to go and see if everything was okay. I walked across the road, and there was two guys. Now, this young girl was screaming and yelling, and she was the culprit, actually. She was screaming and yelling at this other guy. But his brother walked straight up to me as I was walking across the road and asked me if I was trying to be a hero. And I said to him, yeah, I am, mate. And I said, and I'm a big hero. So I'm coming over here to see if she's okay. And if you don't like that, that's tough, right? Now, he was itching for a scrap. He wanted to have a fight with me. Now, one of the other gardeners that were over at AUT, which is the campus here, he came out and he could see what was going. Another car pulled up and they can see what was happening. All that I wanted to know was whether the girl was okay. The fact is, it actually, I evaluated the situation quite quickly. It was her, the one that was the culprit. She was the one that was causing all the trouble, all the commotion. But however, in saying that, it took me moral obligation to go over there and check it out. That's what most people don't do. They stay in their home, they hear the burglar alarm going off, but they just sit in their home and they just ignore it. And that's what our society has come to.
What if people sort of saw themselves in a dual role? Like, my day job is I run a radio station. My night job is, if there's any crap going on anywhere, I have to be a community constable for a moment.
Well, you know, the old saying is many, many years ago, there used to be a thing that we used to do, citizens' arrests, okay, people moving in and arresting somebody for doing something wrong. We have to be very careful, though, Vinny, with that, because sometimes we can over-exercise our actual right and we can go overboard with it. We have to, you know, we have to be in a collective group. Now, I always think that, you know, these community watch groups are really great, okay, and, you know, you've got to have some boundaries. There's got to be rules in place, you know, for that sort of thing.
Well, rules like the police have that they don't follow, incidentally.
Exactly right. And this is what happens, okay? It's about following the procedures. You know, I was looking at starting a new law enforcement thing. Now, you know, it's funny this, because this is the joke. The joke is this, is that many of these police officers that go in there, they don't have any criminal backgrounds against them, but yet they commit crime. And, you know, they're out there, they're handing in and property, which is only half the property that they're handing in. They're out there, they're seen smoking pot, you know, smoking cannabis and all of that. They seem to be going, or that we call it marijuana because that's a legal law term, okay? Cannabis isn't, okay? We tend to hear many, many times that how people have seen police smoking pipes of methamphetamine in their vehicles. Now, we've got people saying this straight up, you know, straight out. I've got people that say that they've seen them, eyewitnesses have seen them. All of this stuff is happening. You know, police are out there raping women. It's been all over the news. They're turning around and they're exercising their force, which is, you know, way overboard. They've got tasers that they're tasering people for literally just saying, hey, what's going on? They're turning around and now saying that they're going to start arming our police. God almighty, if that ever happens.
And they're killing people already, too. I think there's been like 1,300 people plus since 1967, I think was the stat that I read. And not one cop's ever been jailed or even fired.
And that's just not right. Now, just looking at when they came up here on the 24th of December, Detective Sergeant, Senior Sergeant David Pizzini, okay, Dave Pizzini, came into my premises with two other police officers, obviously very big, large Polynesian officers, and he also had two more outside. So five to come up here, just to come and talk to me, five, right? And
intimidation.
Yeah. And anyway, he did. He came in, he stepped over, leaned across my table, and started to threaten me, okay, and asking me really abruptly, trying to get some response out of me. I turned around and I says, you must be an idiot. I've got a CCTV in here, and it's seeing everything you're doing, pal. He looked up, he seen the TV, he turned around and I showed him where he was visually seen, and he backed off and sat down. And then shut up, said nothing, and just said, do you have a meat cleaver? And I said to them, are you talking about my utensil that I use? Because it's a cooking utensil as far as I'm concerned. He says, no, a meat cleaver. I says, no, a utensil. Right? It's word, right? It's words. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I says, yes, I do have that, sir. Right? And please, sir, please don't get in my face because I'm doing nothing to you. Okay? I says, is that okay? I says, can you give me a minute, sir? So I got on the phone. I rang my litigator to come down. They wouldn't even give him time to come down. They wanted to clear out before he got there. All that I wanted him to do was to observe what they were doing. Because this is the most important thing, Vinny. You have to turn around and video the police from now on. Everything has to be videoed and recorded. Everything.
Everything.
Everything. And if you don't do that, they're going to turn around and manipulate evidence. That's what they've been doing for a long time. They're corrupt. They're the gang of the government. They're the gang of the justice system. You don't comply, they're gonna give you a good hiding. Now, I'll tell you what happened. When they put me, after the court case that I had, my first court case where I had a no plea, they put me into a cell waiting to be to get bail. Now, I wrote my bail out as under duress, as normal. But I also said to the guys that were in there with me, there was about 12 young guys in there, and I says, this is what's going to happen, guys. Will you help me? And then they says, what do you mean? And I says, they're going to take every one of you out of here, and then what they're going to do is they're going to leave me till last, and then they're going to come in here and roll me. Now, I'm 50 years old, or nearly 50. I can't take beatings like I used to. They says, hey, and anyway, one young Maori guy stood up and says, I'll protect you, bro. So he come and sat next to me. One by one, they all started emptying. They were pointing at used to. They were trying to clear that room to get me down, and then everybody could see what was happening, right? When the door opened and it was just me and him, the guy came in, or the policeman came in, and he goes, you, mate. And he goes, no, mate. He grabbed me, grabbed my arm. He says, I'm coming out with him, because if you try to roll him, I'll roll you. It's that simple. Now, I think that young gentleman, okay, I didn't even quite grab his name because it was so happened so quickly. I commend that. He took a moral obligation to support something that was he felt was wrong. Okay, now, why did they want to do that? Like you, Vinny, I'm quite vocal. Like you, I go out and talk about the New World Order. I go out there and talk about the corruption. I go out there and talk about Agenda 21 and all of that sort of stuff, and the UN decreeing martial law and all of that sort of stuff. I go and put that out. And why? Because I'm on RadioSouthPacific.com, so www.RadioSouthPacific.com. And what that does is I have news and views on there. I have a lot of videos, and those videos actually talk about the things I'm talking about right now. So we have to take some moral obligation to step up and stop putting our heads in the sand like ostriches.
don't have really much of a choice in the matter, do we? Because a lot of people have done that in the hopes that it'll go away, it'll get better. It never, ever goes away. It never, ever gets better, except on the occasions where somebody stands up and does what is right, fights back, and gets justice. Usually that person has to suffer for extended periods of time in order to achieve justice for themselves or somebody else, and I think that's actually part of the game that's being played, to discourage people from doing what is right through threats and intimidation and fear. And once your fear controls you, those you fear are your masters.